to God. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to go into our teaching series this morning. The Lord had me start on the areas dealing with the and I called it the manifestations of God. Many times people like to use in the terms, they talk about gifts of the Spirit, gifts, and we use it, but when you look at the subject and look at things, as people specifically sometimes look in a certain areas, but it's more than just that. We need to look at the manifestation. How does God manifest himself? What we call the gifts of the Spirit, which we're going to go over to in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, those are only part of really the God manifesting himself through people. And we need to understand, because we have the gifts of whether we call ministry gifts, and some, you know, I've heard it taught, you know, is when I came into Christianity, they used to talk the fivefold gifts, which really deal with the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. They're gifts that of God. They're now, in other words, they're how God manifests through certain individuals to do certain things. So it's the way God manifests in that individual. And when we go over looking, and we started this thing, was going over into the 12th chapter. We didn't start there in this teaching, but we're over 12th chapter, and really the first verse of the chapter is really sets the goal of Paul's writing here to the church at Corinth. See, we usually take it and teach, and I've always heard people take it and they teach the first, you know, few verses through there and about those gifts. But really, this subject that's taught here by Paul covers three chapters. And the church, I believe, in a way, and I understand in teaching, sometimes you'll pull a certain thing from some place and show it in Scripture. But we don't have very much textual teaching in the church today, which leaves the church, whether people like to hear it or not, very ignorant. Because we don't know the Scriptures by context. We only just know them with, well, this certain sermon, and they use this Scripture. Now, they may have done it and God inspired it, but you can't just know the Bible by that. Back years ago, when I first started off in the ministry, the Lord spoke to me one day and said, I want you to take the letters written to the church, and I want you to read them, not with chapter and verse. He said, I wrote letters to people, and I wrote them. He said, I wasn't in chapters and verses. And he said, I didn't write it that they couldn't understand what was being said. And he said, I want you to read them in their context. Man, I got more revelation than a little bit, and found out there was a lot of teaching done on Scriptures that were way off base. And they've been carried out because they've moved them out of their setting, and they've made doctrines that really Paul wasn't saying and Peter wasn't saying. And see, you can't do it. It's like anything today. We see this lots of times. I hear, you know, Kenneth Hagin used to do that. They used to come to him and ask him to do interviews. And at like say newspapers or you know, TV, had asked him interviews, and he'd always turn them down. He said, I will only take an interview if you will print or publicize everything I say. You can't take part of it. See, people take parts out. I thought, man, that's a place of wisdom. Too many politicians, they need to learn to shut up. They get themselves in more trouble by thinking they're going to publicize them, get themselves, oh boy, somebody's going to listen to hear what I said. Yeah, they're going to hear what they said that you said. That's what's going to happen. And so he wouldn't do that. He'd never do an interview with the thing. He did an interview one time with the Tulsa, Tulsa Tribune or something like that, the paper? Tulsa World. That's what he did one time. And they printed the whole thing. They had an entire page printed out of the things they asked him. He sent it. They did an entire, because he told them, I won't talk to you unless you do that. And he was smart, so he didn't get his stuff taken out of context, and people heard what he said about a subject. Well, God wants us to hear about the subject. And in the first verse, we talked about this, and I've amplified this, and I'm going to keep amplifying. It starts off, says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brother, I don't want you to be ignorant. The word gifts there, it was not in the Greek. That was added because the guys that did the writings here, they thought that dealing with this subject, he was just dealing with gifts. And so they stuck that there. No, he was talking about knowing spiritual things. Because chapter 13 and 14 are about spiritual things too. See, when they're making it look like, see, this thing of these certain gifts, or these are special ones, and like these are the things. And the church has almost taken it as that. And God is dealing with the subject here. God is, inspiring Paul, telling Christians he wants them to be spiritual. He wants them to know about spiritual things. See, you can, Christianity is, I said in opening day, much of Christianity today is more, natural, carnal, from the standpoint. It's man's ideas, man's plans about things, man's stuff thrown in. And it's become that. Spirituality is something. We're worshiping a God you can't see. Yet you go to your churches today, and they're full of seeing. I mean, they can't keep the videos off the screens. They can't. It's all about seeing the worship. They can't even stop doing it. They have to have everything sight, lights flashing, doing all kind of stuff. They can't stop. We're worshiping a God you can't see. See, we need to understand this. It isn't about seeing stuff. It isn't about setting moods. We have people call them mood lights. You know, if I have to set a mood and everything feeling good for me to worship, I'm going to be a backslidden buzzard, because you got to learn to worship God when everything's falling apart. You got to learn how to worship God when things ain't right. Out here during the day, this is what happens. People like to get to church, I get this thing that makes me feel good, and then during the week, I drudge along. And that's where you're supposed to have victory. It don't take nothing to have victory in the church house, because everybody there's heading in the same direction you are. Out there, they ain't. We don't raise up soldiers today. We don't have soldiers. There's no soldiers out there in the battle hardly anymore. They're all people who have to have everything running right to feel good. And they have to have I'm on top of it when everything's running right. Well, you must not be on the top of it much. You look around and realize it ain't going right. But you got to live like you're on top of it. You gotta live like the God's real, you can't see. And you walk out there and everything's going wrong, and you gotta live like God's real and you can't see Him at all, and you ain't heard Him for the past week. And you gotta look at the Word when it seems dry and say, yeah, it's still true. That's how you live in victory out there. See, when I came into Christianity, the Lord told me, He said, I'm gonna teach you faith by your military training. And what they tossed us in the military. No matter what you see going on, you're trained to do a certain thing in a certain situation. And that's what you do. No matter how it looks, no matter what's going on, you keep doing. You stay doing what you were trained to do. You never quit doing that. And I'll tell you what, I found that out when I went to NAM. It works. When I came into the church world, I was so disappointed when I got saved. Because I thought, I was going to get among these people. And boy, I tell you, I got born again. And I found out people didn't know much at all about how to sustain and how to keep going. They talked about faith, but faith was this abstract thing. It didn't really work well when problems were really going. Faith was good when you talked about it when everything's wonderful. And on the other side, well, we're just trusting God. When people talk about trusting God, they get this weird sound in their voice. And we're just believing God and trusting Him. With a little tear in her eye. It's like, hold it. Wouldn't trust being able to trust God make you happy? Say, man, bad things are going on, but I can trust God. I'm just so glad I could trust God. Hallelujah. See, everybody has to have something they can trust. And see, what they did is they taught us to trust in the military. They taught us to trust in our training. They taught you to do that. Well, you had to. You don't trust in your training. You don't go at it very hard and don't find yourself. You end up in a body bag. See, a lot of Christians are in body bags. Now, they're still walking around today, but they're in body bags. Well, they are. They're in body bags. I mean, they're really dead to what's going on. They're not sold on this thing. They're not sold on the Word of God. They're not sold on this God that they can't see. Amen. Their heart knows the Word's true, but they're mostly dominated by the outward, the things they see, the things they feel. I can go after God because I feel good about it. I feel good. Today I'm feeling great. Tomorrow I'm not. And I've been around with that. Over the years, I remember the first church that God sent us, Wanda and I too. And I'll never, because we had some people in the church and they were just like, they were the Christians who were on top of it when everything was going good. And the next week they'd be on the bottom of everything because something happened. And to me, it was the hardest thing to understand. I thought, what kind of life did they live that nothing ever bad happened, that this all throws them? It's like, I came in the world as a sinner, and I had enough sense to know there's days that seem good and there's days that seem bad. And there's days that everything seems to go wrong. But that can't throw your life. You can't live a life like that, that throws your life. You know, I often thought, because my parents, I mean, they lived through the Depression, the very poor people and stuff, and the things that they went through. Flu epidemic came along. My mom lost 7 of her brothers and sisters and her dad. And her mom ended up raising her and her other 7 siblings by herself, a woman at that time. I mean, you talk about a job. That was a job. And did those things. But my mom wasn't a pessimist about everything going wrong today. People, my words, the littlest thing, in my words, they're whining and crying about everything and, oh, it's so hard, it's so terrible. I'd feel ashamed. I mean, I've been out on mission fields and places in the world that the average American Christian wouldn't last 15 minutes. They just fall apart out there. And these people live it every day of their life. And you go over there, and I met some of the happiest Christians in these different places. Some of the most blessed people you ever wanted to be around and run into. And it's like, the first thing as I learned is going on the field is like, my words, Lord, forgive me for all the whining I've done. Forgive me for all the times I complained about nothing. Forgive me for acting like a dumb American. We don't realize how blessed we are.
Amen.
We sit today in our nation, look how the people with their mouth full, you know, their bellies full, their wallets full, and they're still griping, oh, man, Biden's killing me. Their fears of losing things before they even lost them. That's good preaching, folks. See, living like God's real. See, this is God. God can manifest himself through people who live like he's real.
Amen.
He don't manifest himself through people who don't live. It's a life of faith. That's what he said. He wants us to become spiritual people. Spiritual people, it's not some kind of weird woo-woo thing. It's a people who live like the word's true when they can't see none of it around. They don't see that God. They don't see none of the angels. They don't see none of the things the Bible says. They might not see any of it around them, but they live like it's true. I will tell you, God will show up. God will manifest himself if people will live like it's true.
Amen.
That's spirituality, folks. It's not some woo-woo stuff out here and that. I found out. It was just like they taught me, the Lord taught me that concerning my training in the military. Live like before, when you're in battle, live like what they taught you was true. Well, see, these people who taught this, they had experience in it. See, I thought they were just mean to me, and they were treating us bad when they were training us and made us go through hardships. You know how they treat us? In hardships. I want to tell you this. You're not going to learn faith any other way. You might as well just stay home if you expect to learn faith and to walk by faith without hardships. You don't need no faith if nothing ever goes wrong. What on earth do you need any faith for? What do you need to believe for? Believing faith ain't about everything going right. It's believing in the middle of everything wrong. And saying, I'm going to believe God's delivery. God's going to take care of this thing. God's going to show himself in this thing. That's what faith's about. See, we need to come to that place. I learned from Kenneth Hagin as a young Christian. I remember I was only a few months old and he made this statement. He said, great faith is made through great trials. And he said, if you haven't faced great trials, you don't have great faith. And I thought, oh dear Lord, most of them were teaching you use great faith so you never have a great trial. That ain't what it is at all. You don't need no faith if you ain't got a trial. Ah, this is not called the Great Escape. One day there will be an escape, and we will get, as Mike said, we're going to get a glorified body. That day is coming, but while we're here, we're proving ourselves to God by our faith in him. In the middle of trouble. Jesus said, in the world, there's tribulation. I've overcome it. Does it look like it's overcome? Does it look like it's overcome? No. Come on, you can say it. Don't try to put on some spiritual air like, well, you know, I think everything's just fine. God will forgive you for lying. It's not. There's all kind of trouble going on. But these are the days that we walk by faith. These are the days when we praise God when everything. If you can't praise God in the middle of trouble, what's the point of praising him? We praise Him in times of trouble. Things that are going on in our nation. It's one thing that's leading into this year, God really dealt with me is, keeping your attitude of praise and worship all the time. Keep your attitude of praise and worship. Why? Because things are going wrong. I could have told you, I wouldn't have had a good prophetic word for you for 2022, because God didn't give me one for that. I knew we were into a bunch of trouble. Trouble's coming. But you know what? Faith in God will see us through all the trouble. Hallelujah. His word will stand for His people. All they have to do, believe it's true.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's true. God can take care of His people. Hallelujah. So it doesn't matter what's going on. God has a plan and He has it in His word. Glory to God. One of the things that we looked at before is last week, we have these gifts, and in verse 4 of that chapter talks about diversities of gifts. And I'm not going to read through everything. In verse 5 talks about different ministries. It uses a term. And in verse 6 it said there are diversities of activities. And that activities there really means different kinds of effects of the workings of God. In other words, in the body of Christ, there's all different types of ministry. There's all different types of gifts and things. And these things, we'll find out, they work differently through different people. Not everybody has the same gift, and it even works. The same gift may not work necessarily the same way through the same person, another person. There might be differences in how they manifest themselves and how they work. And you have to see that and understand these things. I saw this happen. When I first started off, the Lord said to me, He said, I want you to pastor a church. Now this is interesting. Up to this time, the Lord had never spoke to me. In fact, when I was in Bible school, He had me go. And the Lord spoke to me, and I knew that God spoke to me and said, my second year in school, He said, I want you to go through the missions classes. Because I had first was going to go through the teachings. I was going to go through the teaching class. He never spoke to me ever about pastoring, never. So I went through the missions course and that stuff, which I really enjoyed. I really liked it, liked missions. In fact, when I left school, my plan was go on the mission field. That's what I wanted. I wanted to go on the mission field. Let's go on the mission field. Let's go somewhere. Well, and I do like the mission field. When I've been on the mission field, I'll tell anybody this is the truth. The greatest anointings I've ever had in my life on me has been the mission fields. I come back to America and you get about half here in America. You can't. In America, you can never minister under the... You ask any minister who knows anything about the anointing will tell you. And I've had many of them tell me. They'd almost say, boy, coming back to America is a hard thing. It's hard. We're so smart and so educated. We just know more than God. We just think we know everything. But it's hard to minister here in America. It's hard to minister because people think you know too much. Think you're smart. And they don't know how to yield to things. They don't know how to yield to things of God. And I've had numbers of ministers tell me. I've had missionaries. I mean, even like you guys know Ken Kasich and different ones. Ken Kasich, all the years they spent. Todd Levin. Boy, coming back to America is a hard thing to do. Come back to America to minister. And it's like going to a third world country spiritually. See, I've learned that over time. You know, how to repent of a lot of things that we think we're so brilliant here in America. we're so special. You know, God raised us up special here in America. You ain't special. All of God's people are His people. And it's like, you know, the first time that I took Wanda to Fiji, I told her, I said, we're going to this church over here. I said, when you go there, I said, this one church I'm going to take you to. I said, when you go there, I said, it was a little building. It was, tin roof place. Had, the wood was, they did their wood on the side. They'd leave it open so vents, the air would blow through the place and that kind of stuff. And I said, when you go there and go to their worship service, I said, you have never been in a worship service in your life. I said, there's no ministry in America has ever come close to their worship. I said, when you go there, I said, you think you're in heaven. I'm serious. You think you're in heaven. I mean, those people started singing, and I didn't understand there because these were Fijian people, and they're singing in the Fijian language, which I hadn't learned. But I'll tell you what, I knew the same spirit. I'll tell you what. And the spirit of God. And when I took Wanda there, I said, we go. You know, they had a couple guys up front playing guitars, with about four strings on them and stuff. But I'll tell you, they started to worship. and the power of God come in that place. And I tell you, just, I mean, it is phenomenal. I mean, you just wanted to go there and sit in their worship service. Like, oh my God. They just love the Lord. And you come back to the United States, you go to a worship service, and it's like, gee, did we sin? What happened? Oh, yes. I could tell you things about being on the field over years. But the moves of God. But it was so easy in those places to get a move of God. It wasn't something. I knew this when I was there. Something that that John G. Lake understood in God's moving. You know, you knew that God did move through you because you were so brilliant and you were so smart. This is God showing up for those people. And I'd get up to minister and the anointing would come on me and you didn't have to try to work nothing up. The power of God would just start flowing and moving and start doing things. And it was what those people, see, they were drawing those things out. If you don't like the move of God, check yourself and see what you're doing wrong and holding it back. I'm serious. I'm not saying it's critical. It's what this. A ministry gift cannot minister any more than the people will draw it out of that gift. It can't go any further. See, that's why we're not seeing a revival and gifts and manifestations of the Spirit today. The church ain't pulling them out. The church is used to being entertained. They go to see what's going to happen. What's going to happen from the front? No, it's what happens from the pew. The people are coming in and ain't ready. They are not coming in. They're not spiritually in tune. Their expectations are very low. You know, I'm going to church and see what the worship team's going to do today and that stuff. You worshiping ain't the worship. Worship a team worshiping ain't you worshiping.
That's right.
They can't do your worshiping for you.
That's right.
You have to do your own.
Right.
They can't do it for you. They're not supposed to do it for you. We're supposed to worship. Amen. See, we need to bring that back to the church.
Amen.
These are simple things. But see, when I came in the kingdom, they had this stuff. See, we were so dumb, we just did these things and we were just after God. You know, we'd stand outside. Dumb Mike and I would stand outside at a meeting in Philadelphia in the cold in February. You know, 2 hours before the meeting started to get a seat inside. Now you can't get them there unless they can have their cup holder. Then there's all their stuff sitting around them and all their toys and games. And they can have everything around them and I'm nice and comfortable and the temperature's just right. But see, we were hungering and thirsting for righteousness and God filled us every time.
Amen.
Didn't He, Mike? We got filled every time. We were after it. We were going to church looking for something. We thought God was going to show up. Now I'm going to tell you what, you can tell a lot about yourself in going to church of whether you really think. I don't care what you say, it's what you do. You don't have in life what you believe, you have in life what you do with your believing. Your doing will either put you over or put you under. I don't care what you believe. You can believe, make all the confessions you want. James had enough sense to know faith without corresponding actions dead. It'll die where it's at. Get on to that fact. What I do. Start acting like what you're doing, even in your regular everyday life, what you're doing, that you're believing God, then start acting like He's involved in what you're doing. You go to work, act like God's involved in your work. Manifestation. Let me say this about the Lord spoke to me yesterday about this, and I want to bring it up. He just brought it to my remembrance again. Is manifestations of the Spirit. The majority of the manifestations of the Holy Ghost that I have in my life are not at church. The majority are outside the church. At first, when I started off as Christian, got filled with the Holy Ghost, I started having all these manifestations, and they weren't in church. They were outside of church, on my job, working at Reese. Different thing. I'd get a word of knowledge at work about something going on or something happened or somebody. And some way I could say something to someone that would minister to them. I would have this stuff would go on all the time. It would happen. And when I worked, I thought, this is sort of strange because my wife and I started going to this church and they acted like the church is where this stuff is supposed to all be going. And I thought, well, this is what's happening to me. Why is this happening to me outside here? Why is mostly God moving in me outside the church? Well, I found out because that's the place you live. In the church building ain't where you live. This ain't the place we live. You know, we visit here a little while, throw a little gasoline on the fire and out the door. Because out there you need to have some burn. You need to have it out there because the stuff that's going on is out there. The people that need help are out there. It's the church today. We're ministering to all the crib Christians, I call them. They're all in the playpen. They're all in the crib. And the church is the crib. And you come here and give them their bottles. And then they go out there and they don't, and you gotta wait till next time you need to get a bottle back, you know? Nobody's making bottles. You know, they need one. The place is out there. It's the people out there where you're at. And that's where you need manifestations of God. You know, just on your job. You need wisdom on your job about things. You're doing things. God wants you to be a good worker in that stuff. Don't sit around and complain all the time. Have an answer. Have an answer. Be a person. God will give you wisdom. James said, if you lack wisdom, ask God. He gives it liberally. Amen. Well, my words. People sit around, well, you know, the place I work, they're doing this and they're doing that. Well, give them some wisdom. Let God give you a piece of wisdom. I've seen people do that. I've learned over time that that would work. I worked at Reese's and I was in a management in a department, and that I don't know how many times I could say the word of knowledge came to me of what to do. We'd had breakdowns trying to find. Sometimes you have all these equipment, electronics, and all that stuff in them, and the more gadgets they put in, the more chances you had of something strange happening, and not knowing exactly what is going on. And I could take you to people, and they said, "I've had this happen more than one time. We're trying to figure out what's going on." I'd say, "Lord, show us what to do here. We're trying to figure out what's going on." And all of a sudden, I would know what was wrong. And I would say to one of the electricians, one of the mechanics, "Go check such and such." And they would say, "Well, that don't even sound right." I say, "Just humor me. Go check it." And they would come back and said, "How did you know that was wrong?" And I say to them, well, this would really get the whole thing going, "God told me that." "Oh." But you know what? Over time, they didn't knock it anymore. Because it happened time and time again. It wasn't I was smarter. I just asked, I don't know. Lord, what do we have to do? You see, I want the company I work for to prosper because I want more money. I go to work for money. I don't go to work just to be a nice guy. You know, these Christians say, "Well, I just don't work for money." Well, I'd get rid of you quick if you worked for me. Because men run businesses for money. And the whole economy, because everybody needs money. The guy that says he don't work for money is always trying to get more. And he's the guy who's usually tight-fisted, won't give an offering. But see, God gives wisdom to bless. That's what it's for. These gifts and manifestation of God are for God to bless. That's what it's for. And so we need to learn to be the blessing. And see, we need, out here, there needs good. What do we do in a situation? Folks have heard me say this time and time again. I have never in my entire Christian walk been in a serious situation, especially, I mean, I'm talking about emergency situation when there's dire need or something. I've never one time that God hasn't spoke to me and told me to do a certain thing. And every time I've ever done it, it's always worked. But you know what? I am just a guy who thinks that's the way it's supposed to operate. I don't know about you. I ain't bright enough that I don't need God. I don't have enough education, and I'll never get enough education. I don't care how many colleges you want to send me to. I'll never get enough education that I don't need God more than my education. Amen. And see, we need to get to that point. We need to come back. There's not a humility before God. The Christians of America don't really realize how they lack. We don't see how lacking we are. We need God. We need the supernatural. If you haven't noticed in our nation, we have all these college people running our nation. Well, education ain't working so good. We need God. We need wisdom outside of our wisdom. We need to be able to see what we can't see. And there's a lot we can't see. There's a lot we don't understand. And we need it. And see, this opens the door. When we respond in faith in this way toward God, you know, I talk to God when I pray. That's one of the things I go to God. I always tell Him how much I need Him. I need Him. I need His help. I'm not smart enough. I'm not brilliant enough. I don't know everything. I want to help somebody. But I don't know everything that makes a person work on the inside. I don't know everything that's wrong with them. I don't know. We only see what the manifestations, and I learned this about manifestations in the natural. You could have two or three people, the same manifestations, but there's totally different reasons why you see those manifestations in your life. To minister to them, that's why psychology, you know, they'd work on a person for 10 years trying to figure out what's going on. We need to be able to do a little faster than that. Some guy don't need to be sitting 10 years shelling out a few hundred bucks an hour all the time trying to figure out what's going on. The church needs to get some answers. They don't have supernatural gifts. They have to go just like the world does for answers. Try to figure them out by manifestation. You don't figure out by manifestation. That isn't how you figure it out. God knows what makes a person tick. God will tell you whether you can help a person. I've had different times where I've been praying for people for a good period of time. Finally asked God about the individual, and the Lord said to me, on some occasions, you can't help them. They know what to do, but refuse to do it. Well, see, if you don't know that, you'll spend all your time and you will waste God's time trying to help people you can't. The Lord told me, He said, you learn to be led by the Spirit. He said, if you learn to follow the Spirit, He said, I will make you productive. I'll show you the people you can help, and you can bless and help those, and you won't waste your time. He called these folks spiritual vampires. He said, there's too many spiritual vampires. All they want to do is suck the life out of you. And He said the church spends almost their time with the spiritual vampires, and the people that they can help don't get much out of the church. Because we're always after the person that's always, I call them too, the squeaky wheel. The person that's squeaking all the time. Lots of them you can't help. If they won't change, you can't help them. Now, we don't like to hear that. We want to get our Harry Potter wand out and go, yeah, we're going to fix it. Yeah, yeah. Stand back, Jesus. I know. Get back. We're going to make this thing work. See, when God's viewing the church, and I found out, you know, I just had to repent because I told the Lord, you know, I've been wasting time, haven't I? I've been wasting time trying to fix things that you can't fix. See, not everybody has a problem because they don't know what to do. And over the years, I've learned that. Many people refuse to do the right thing. And that's a hard thing for us to just back off and say, you know, you're not interested in making a change. There's no point in going any further than this. There's no point doing it. See, I remember in Bible school, they told us, they said about counseling people. Whenever you counsel a person, you give them something they have to do till the next time they meet you. And if they don't do it, don't counsel them anymore. They come back and you sit them down. Did you do such and such? Well, I didn't have time. Well, I don't have time either. Goodbye. See, if they're not going to listen to what you have there, what is the point? But see, we have this stuff we call ministry. God don't call it ministry. We do. Helping the guy that doesn't want to make a change. Change is hard. Sometimes change is just downright hard. It's not easy. It's not an easy thing to do. But I've learned this about life. You know, you're going after things. You ask people who have succeeded in life, and most of them have gone through some hard things to succeed naturally in life. Businesses and different things that they've done to succeed. But see, we have today, we have the socialistic, you know, really, and both our political parties are very socialistic. The idea is they're trying to give people and take care of people without people having to produce anything. Yes. It ain't gonna work. It ain't gonna work. I'm going to tell you what, I don't want America to have to go to war. I'm not going to be honest with you. We can't win one.
Nope.
We can't win one. Big weapons don't win wars. You know, we have this thing going over here in Ukraine. Let me just say about that. I don't understand what this thing is going on. They're at war. Russia attacked them, and they're complaining about Russia, you know, hitting their cities and different things. Well, you're at war, and this is what war does. I'm sure that they're firing rockets back, and they don't expect them to hit anybody. So, but the whole thing was, you know, do you know how the United States won the Second World War? We blew the German cities with the people off the map. We blew the Japanese cities off the map. And I'm just going to tell you this, if you're not going to do it, don't go to war, stay home and shut up. If you don't defeat the people of a nation, you cannot defeat them as a nation. That's how, look, That's how the Muslims have learned how American military. That's why you can't ever. They can't. We can't defeat them. They know you won't attack their cities. You know they won't. They're scared to hit a civilian, and ain't a civilian among them. It's just a. It's a thing, and we become a nation trying to fight a war without killing people. Stay home. Don't go to war. You got to defeat that nation. You got to defeat. Not, it's not just an army you're defeating. The people that are back there making the stuff for them to fight with, the people that are back there doing all of that stuff, you must defeat them also. They must quit on their leaders. You know, we got Ukraine men being able to come in the United States and come here while the war's going on over there. They ain't even fighting for their own country. We're letting them come in. Well, they got a war in their nation. We're going to save them, you know. Well, we're going to put all Ukraine over here? Let Russia have the place? Look, you know, America didn't do that. You know what America did for as a nation? The people here fought for their land.
Yes, they did.
They didn't go move someplace else. See, that spirit is in Christianity. There's no fight in Christianity. We have the fights out of us. We got American society in us. We don't have the fight in it. We've lost it. See, that spirit, that demonic spirit that's operating has gotten into things. We're going to have to go after things. The things of God must be going after. We must have to want them desperately. You know, the scripture says, desire earnestly spiritual gifts. And I don't like that. I put desire because that's not what the word that means desire. It means to crave or to long for. That's what it means. The translations put it, well, I just desire it. Well, there's people all the time, you know, Christians, well, God will give you the desires of your heart. And you ask them about, well, you know, what they have in their desire, and you ever get it? Well, no, we don't get it. The reason they don't get it, because they don't really have a desire for it in their heart. They don't have a hunger, a craving. They don't, hey, I want this, and I ain't moving away from it till I get it. That's what that word's talking about. If you're willing to change your mind about it, you don't have that. So you got to come down and say, well, this is the way, you know, I'm believing it this way. This is what I'm going to believe God's going to do. And stand there till you get it. Say, we ain't changing nothing. We ain't changing nothing. I'm not moving till I get it. See, when it comes down to what we call faith, well, you've heard me say many times, the word believe in the Greek means a continuous action verb. You get a hold of something, you believe it, you stand, and you just stand on that belief. You don't move off. It ain't something you believe one time, and then it's going to work all the time. No, it's something you continually believe. You continually trust. You don't move off. A thing get hard, you just continue. Just stay where you're at. Stay in your believing. I'm just trying to trust. Or people say, I'm just trying to believe God. No, I want you to think about that statement, trying to believe. And we're talking about moves of the Spirit. We want to move of the Spirit. We want to walk in spiritual things. People are trying to believe. You don't try to believe. You either do or you don't. Now, you have to think about it. You either do. And you the amount that you believe it, you know what that is. Now, some people might believe a certain thing more than another. You know, the Bible teaches the New Testament. Some people had strong faith. Some had weak faith. But see, we have to decide what, say, I'm trying to believe. When a person says that to me, I can look at them and not being mean or anything, I know what's going on, you're not believing and you're just trying to go through this. Either, how do I believe? Well, it's very simple. Is what said, do you believe it's true or it's not? People in 10 seconds listen to the news and decide whether they believe it or not. The Bible, they try to believe it. And they say, well, I'm trusting the Lord. They don't even believe he exists. If you believe it was what God said, wouldn't you think that, Britt Hume wouldn't have quite as much say in your life as God would? Yeah, but they said on Fox News. You see, it's a determination. There was something, and maybe it'll help you, because Kenneth Hagin was on a deathbed as a young boy. And was dying, and that's how he got born again and got healed. But he made a covenant with God. And he said this. Now he was about 16. He would have been at that time about 17 years old. He was still on a deathbed, and he said to God, he said, "From now, when I read your word, whatever your word says, I'm going to believe it's true." So he said, "Whatever you said," he said, "I believe it, and I'm not going to listen to nothing else on it." And he did it as a young boy. He made that decision. He was going to be, but really, that became the key of God getting him off his deathbed. That became the key. See, he didn't say, "Look, I'm going to take what God said, but you know, I have five doctors." He had five doctors. The five doctors said this. See, that's what people do. "Well, you know, the doctor said." Well, you determine what you believe. See, today we have much of what I call mixture, especially when it comes to healing. There's this mixture of belief. It's a mixture between what the educated people said and what God said. It becomes a mixture. And it's tainted. See, mixtures are tainted. They're tainted with whatever they're mixed with. And see, we have to decide. We have to make the decision. You make the decision. God says, God tells you what his plan and purpose is. And man says, "Well, I can only go this far. This is what I can do." Well, we have to stop and say, "Well, thank God for what they can do. But if they can't go far enough, I ain't going to stop there. I ain't going to camp on that spot with them." You have to make that choice. And the worst thing you can do is tell everybody what the doctor said. Because if you're done after you told all your friends and everybody else, now you're convinced of what the doctor said because you confessed it till you believed it. And people will always come around and want to know what the doctor said. You don't have Christians walk up to you, "Well, what did God say about it?" How many Christians you ever walk up and do that to you? "Well, what did God say about that problem you're going through?" Never. They don't ever come up and ask you that. "What did some person say?" Tell me what they said about it, so we can believe on their opinion. Because we can mix it in here and say, "Oh, but we know what God said." Yes, but I want this mixed opinion on this thing. What did this other person say? Hallelujah. This is good preaching anyhow. But we're going to go on in this. It's not today, but we're going to go on in this teaching. And we're going to go in to look. Now, we're not going to teach the gifts and going through the gifts right now. We'll do that later. But we want to go in and begin to look into things dealing with from this chapter, looking into the discourse that Paul went through after Paul mentioned the names of the gifts that manifest by the Holy Spirit. One of the things he said, these gifts operate as the Spirit wills. They are not gifts. They're not like a gift, like you were given something. Like somebody gave you something, and I gave you $50 today that's yours to spend like you want till it's all. It's not like that. They operate as the Spirit wills. One of the wonderful revelations that I learned through Kenneth Hagin and found out it to be true is the gifts of the Spirit operating as the Spirit wills, mostly, you need to understand this. We're talking about, see, this opening up of understanding the Spirit. He talked about ministry first, and then he talked about gifts. These gifts are for manifestations through people for ministry. They are not specifically, they can't operate for the church, but generally, is Kenneth Hagin, Spirit of the Lord, Jesus told him in a vision, he said, "I didn't put gifts of healing and my name, I didn't give it to the church," he said, "to heal the church." He said, "The church is supposed to be healed by the communion table." He said, "You have the same Spirit that raised me from the dead. You're supposed to be by faith." You see, faith trumps gifts of the Spirit every time. The top notch of faith is not gifts of the Spirit. You need gifts of the Spirit to minister to people. Because you're ministering to people you don't know everything about. You don't know that. You need help. See, you can know. The book of Hebrews Romans says this, you know, the spirit of man knows the things of man. See, I can know me. Now, yeah, people say, "Well, I don't know myself very well." Well, you quit lying, and repent. You do. You know you. You see, the spirit of man, he knows the things of man. He said, the same as the spirit of God knows the things of God. See, the spirit of God knows everything and everything about everybody that ticks, everything that works. He knows all that's going on. You're dealing with people you can't know. You need manifestation of the spirit. There is no education that you will receive that could give you that kind of information. Nobody could do that. So we need to know in ministry. And see, this is the deal. The church is called to a supernatural ministry. The church today mostly operates in natural ministry. It's how to take care of people's physical needs. That's what the church is geared for. The physical need meters and never meet the real problems of the people. It's all about physical needs. You know, Jesus didn't have a soup kitchen. He's backslidden buzzard for sure. Because you'd have had that first. See, today ministering to people is if we meet their physical needs, then they'll listen to our message. Dumb Jesus didn't know it. He gave the message. Oh, my words. Nobody comes to the Son except the Father draw them. And he never drew them through soup and hamburgers and hot dogs. Hey, I have nothing against feeding people, but that ain't the top of the list of nothing. I will tell you this, and I've learned it over the years. I do my own little surveys. I went around and asked ministers about it. And I've had ministers tell me this. The people that you will help in the natural the most will be the first ones to leave your church if you don't give them what they want. If you bring them in by stuff, that's what you're going to have to do to keep them. What you bring them in by, what you bring, you know, you take a company, you bring a company brings people in by selling certain products and you have them quit selling those products. Don't be surprised if you got the guy down the street. See, we need an awakening in the church, this idea of what we call ministry and stuff. You know, Jesus called his works. John the Baptist's disciples came and asked him, said, hey, John wants to know if you're the actual guy that we've been waiting for. Are you the guy? And he said, well, you see my works. The blind see, the lame walk and all that, and the soup kitchens and the, you see me feeding everybody, clothing everybody and doing. He didn't say that. Now that don't mean we can't do those things, but they aren't on the top of the list, except the church today. How we're going to take care of everybody. I get calls all the time in our church. People, I mean today, man and woman, both. I mean, I talk about somebody old. Men and women, home, not working, want you to spend it, neither of them work. Having trouble finding a job. And I just tell them, I say, there ain't nothing for me to help you with. If you ain't going to do nothing, there ain't nothing for me to do. I can't help you. And say, you want to change? They don't want to change. Why? They have gotten the message because they will find a church and they will find a group that will help them and will give them what they will find ones. And they won't go to work. They've learned how to make this thing. They've learned what to do. They've learned to talk to you. I always get kick out because see, I always tell them, a guy will call and say, well, I just got out of jail and I don't have a job and all that stuff and things like that. And I said, one of the things, see, I worked in the prison system. I know that one of the big things they do is try to get them a job when they get out. So I know they're lying. So I say, oh, just got out of jail. Where did you get out of jail from? Which jail? Well, they'll always tell you it's some place that's, you know, in another town at another place that they were at. I was in Lancaster County. What did you come here for without a job and leave there to come up here to be taken care of? Why'd you do that? I said, you were down there in jail? I said, what's your name and stuff? I'm going to give them a call and find out if you were just released from jail down there and that stuff. And the phone clicks. You know, we want to end the conversation. Because, see, they know they learned the system. I worked in the prison system and found out the guys know how to work the ministers in the ministries. Oh, man, they used to do it. The guys, they knew exactly what to say. They had their things all in a row. And I worked actually with the guys. The ministers come in and these guys would go, they knew that if you went to church, maybe you could get them to pay your fines. And maybe you could get them to do that. I learned that you never pay their fines. You don't ever pay their fines. You don't ever do that. Worst thing you can ever do is do those things. I used to tell the guys, you're in jail for a purpose. Until you learn what your purpose is for, you don't need to ever get out. because when you get out, you're going to commit a crime and come back. Well, I worked at the prison in 2 years' time. There was not one person that was ever released that didn't end up coming back to jail. Not one person. 2 years. Just 2 years. I mean, these other guys worked there. They seen guys coming in and out 79 times. And all of them went to the church, you know, when they had it in prison, when they had church. They ran up there and they played the game of, I'm a Christian now, and I just... They learned the game. Why? Because you got, see, now you're pretty good by, so they'll try to help you get out of jail. But see, the guy never learned. It's easy we need to know as Christians. If you're having problems and you ain't ever getting it fixed, something you need to learn. You haven't learned in your, and if somebody keeps jumping in and trying to fix your problem, they have become your problem. See, if a person wants to, and this is what I talk to people about change. You're going to have to make changes. It's not easy. I just tell people, you ain't going to come to church and sit down and want to learn something new. There's no need to help you. You'll just be, next year, you're going to be in the same mess, and just a year after year, you're going to have to do something that we all had to do. We had to make change in life. We had to do something. You know, we had to get out of bed in the morning and go to a job, even though we didn't like it. Even though we didn't want to. You never had mornings you just wanted to roll over and pull the covers over your head, you know, and say, oh man, I am tired of this. Up early in the morning, it's late till I get my stuff done and all that kind. But we do it. We find out those things in life. It's just like we have our garbage men come past and come around, and I really like my garbage men. I always tip our garbage men. And so I went out because I wanted to talk to one garbage man. We have this one guy. He's been on the route. I don't know how long. I have the black guy that's been on the route. Really nice man. I talked to him. And he's out there, so I went out to see him. And I said, you're by yourself on the run today? You're having to handle the whole thing. He said, yeah. He said, can't get people to work. And he said, they pay these guys pretty good now. But number one, I mean, I have more respect for them than I do in any probably profession as doctors. Because all this lousy weather and winter and everything, those guys got to come through and they're out there ain't walking around in it. I said, man. Your doctor, he don't do that. No. I said, they're doing a service. See, I've been in countries that don't have garbage pickup, and you'll never find any of those countries where health problems are really well. Things really run good, a health system. Picking up garbage is really an important job in our nation. It's an important thing. People do that. And so I was out, he said he couldn't do it. He said, I don't understand. He said, all these people, they don't want stability in life. See, he looked at working on a job brought some stability to his life. I thought, man, there's college graduates I want to introduce him to. See, I want to take him down to Washington. I think I'd vote for him for president. I said, dear God. They need to learn that. He understood that working brought stability. See, this is why. See, this might seem like natural things to you I'm talking about, but spiritual things operate in the same manner. You want stability in your life, you got to be the same thing about spiritual things. They bring stability to you. Amen. There is nothing that really will help your life more than the fact that you know God can manifest himself to you and through you. You want to change life? See, that's what revolutionized my life. I don't understand Christianity without manifestations of God. I don't understand. I have no comprehension of it. I don't understand why somebody would even want to be a Christian when God never shows up. I mean, if we all go just through the religious motions of things, if God don't manifest himself, who would ever know he's alive? You know, God can't keep saying he's alive. God can't just keep putting it in a book and people just reading and say it. If he don't ever manifest himself in a living way, then it's just words in a book, and let's throw the book out and go find something that's real. God must manifest. You need God to manifest in your life. You need it. There are people that you want to help. They need it. They don't know the path to the manifestations of God. They don't know how to get there. There's somebody has to go there. Somebody must lead people to something. That's the way it's done. Prayer in itself, prayer is wonderful, but many people are praying about things and they need to get to the doing. It ain't enough to pray. You know what? Revivals aren't prayed, they're preached. I learned that from people who preach revivals. No matter how much you pray for revival, somebody's going to have to preach that thing. with that's how Seymour with the out in Los Angeles there with Azusa Street. Some ladies were praying and praying and praying, and God sent him to visit these ladies and go see them. And he had to go to a part of town the black people weren't allowed in. I love it that God chose him to do that. I think the fact God chose a black guy just in the middle of that and moved through a spirit of God. And I can tell you why God picked him. He was the best choice of the bunch. But Seymour went. He went, and then these women, he rode on a bus in town, ended up going to this place, section of town. It's at nighttime. Black people aren't even allowed in the area. But God told him to go, and he went. And he went and knocked on the lady's door, and the lady opened the door. And he said, hi, she was actually in there with some other ladies. They had been praying. And she opens the door, and she asked who he was. And he said, I'm the guy that God sent to preach your revival. I thought, Lord, I like this man. I like this guy. Hallelujah. But you know what it was? He was so after God. He was a black man, and he wanted to go to the school that, what's his name? Parham. Yeah, Parham started a school. Moved down to Texas. Parham had a school. And see, black people weren't allowed to be in the school. See, Christianity was still pretty stupid in those days. They were still being real dumb. Anyhow, what he did, and here's the whole thing of it is, and I admire him. He didn't start a race riot. He didn't. He went and asked Parham, could I sit by the door of the classroom and you just leave it open some so I could hear what's being taught? That's what he did. And you know what? Parham didn't get called to that ministry. But he did. That guy had miracles through him. It was just like John G. Lake. John G. Lake, he didn't care who the people were. He just wanted to go bless somebody. Don't surprise me. God chose him. See, he wasn't in the days when everything racial was cute. I mean, you like black people, you might have been in trouble in the church. And we shouldn't be surprised God chose these people. See, this is what I'm talking about. Don't let the natural get in your way to what the invisible God wants to do. Right now, the devil is trying to get the church to focus on all this natural stuff going on. And we're instead of looking at what God wants to do out here, and God wants to manage it. I don't care what they're doing. God is bigger than what they're doing. God waited till the middle of the mess, 50 years after abortion was bought in, and God was able to get 6 people to stand up and say, we're bringing this to an end. In the middle of the worst of times. They could have done this years ago, and it wouldn't be near as hard as it is now. But God. See, we know little today about the working of God. God will come and step right in when the mess seems to be to no return. I have great hope in what He's going to do in these days. Don't think things got too bad. They ain't bad enough. God will raise up in the middle of all this mess. And get yourself and your expectancies of it. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, I just want to say thank you this morning. Lord God, Lord, your love and desire for your people is absolutely fantastic. It is phenomenal because, Lord, from the natural standpoint, and even today, there's many who have given up on the church. But Lord God, you've never given up on the church. There's people who say, well, there's no hope, there's nothing. You know, it's all over. And it isn't all over. Oh, my, my, my. Hallelujah. The church is still here.
Hallelujah.
God still has a plan.
That's right.
And God can and will use us.
Hallelujah.
He can and will use us. Lord God, Lord, we want a fire to burn in us.
Amen.
We want fire to burn in us, Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord, every one of us, we need you. There's no one is at the top or the epitome of anything. You're at the top of the epitome. You're the one that brought us and seated us in heavenly places. We never earned a spot. Hallelujah. It was given by your glory. Hallelujah. The working of your great Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, the King of Heaven. And we want to thank you. He is our Lord. He is our Savior. And Lord Jesus, you said when you left, you were going to say, ask the Father to send the Holy Spirit. And I want to thank you, Lord, that Spirit that manifests the gifts and demonstrations, Lord God, that we desire to see, to manifest, to minister to people, Lord God. I just want to thank you. You gave that Holy Spirit to come and live in us. And I want to thank you that we are temples of God. Hallelujah. We have God in us. Hallelujah. There's nothing like the church of Jesus Christ. There is nothing more glorious than the church in this earth. Holy Spirit, surely, and many times Holy Spirit's been our ignorance, but we've held you back. We've held you back, but Holy Spirit, still, you reach out with the love of Jesus Christ toward us. Hallelujah. And you speak to us today. And you didn't, you don't say these things to put us down. You don't, you're not, Lord God, you're speaking to us to awaken us. Awaken us to the truth. Hallelujah. You're not putting us down. You're lifting us up. Hallelujah. Setting us in the position that you've called the church to. A place of glory in this nation. To minister to this nation. Lord God, at this time, Lord God, there's many who are waiting to hear a good word. There's ones that are waiting to know that there is a God in heaven. There's ones who want to hear a truth. There's ones, does this God really care? My life is a mess. It's everything's broken down. Does this God really care? Hallelujah. Lord, we want to be vessels that you can use to prove to this world there's a God who cares about them. There's a God who loves them. A God who wants to turn their lives around. Lord God, there's many Christians have sat in church. And Lord God, their hope's been ripped out of them from the pulpits. Their hope's been ripped out of them, Lord God. Just preaching natural stuff. But Lord God, there's a longing that's within them. And that longing is a longing that you put in there. There's a longing that the real God manifests himself and shows himself. And oh Lord God, they hunger. But they don't know if they can reach out to them. Is it really true? Is it really true? Would he really want to help me? Lord God, I want to thank you that you're proving in these days and times. Hallelujah. You're moving in spite of what men are saying and doing. Hallelujah. Father God, you're raising people up. Father, I just think it's crazy. You raised up six justices to make a stand in this nation. And Lord God, they even made a stand of religion for the church to pray. Hallelujah. Lord God, I just want to thank you. They're turning things around, and I know this for a fact. The court is going to bring up some more stuff. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The court will bring up more things. They're going to be turned around and changed. Lord God, you're doing a dividing of who's yours and who's not. Lord God, there's many that call themselves Christians, and they wanted Roe versus Wade. They called themselves, but you're dividing us up. You're showing who's yours and who's not.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord.
And Lord God, I just want to thank you. Hallelujah. We just declare ourselves to you. We're yours.
Amen.
We belong to you, Lord God. Hallelujah. And Father God, you're going to use us. Hallelujah. Lord, I'm not just asking you to use us. I done read the book. You've already declared your desire to use us.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And thank you, Lord God. Lord, we're just yielding ourselves to you.
Yes.
Hallelujah. That's all we have to do. We just have to be willing vessels. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Willing vessels to be used. And we set ourselves, Lord God, we're willing. We're willing, Lord God, that you should teach us and instruct us. Reveal to us, Lord God, what to do, what to walk in. Hallelujah. Manifest yourself through us, Lord God, that people may see, oh, the wonderful God that you are. The glorious God that you are. Hallelujah. Lord God, we want the dinner bell of healing rung in this nation again. The dinner bell of healing rung in this nation again. Hallelujah. Oh, Father God, that people see this loving and wonderful God. Hallelujah. Who's interested in the hurting of this nation. We thank you for it. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Father, our expectations are high. Hallelujah. Father God, we're looking on the inside today and not on the outside. We, Lord God, believe that you're alive and reign and rule forever. Hallelujah. Lord God, we might not see with our eyes, but our hearts know it's true. We know we've passed from death unto life. We know. Hallelujah. Father, we have the witness of the Spirit in us. Hallelujah. We know it's true. And we're not asking you to, you don't have to prove to us that you're real. We're asking you to prove to those who don't know. We know. We know you're real. We know. We're asking you to prove yourself to those who don't know. Lord God, that they may see your glory. Hallelujah. 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 I thank you that you're the God today that meets all the needs of your people. Thank you, Lord God. I thank you, Father God. Father, you've given us something that is so wonderful, and it's faith in your word. There's something that is just so wonderful. And I want to thank you today, Lord. Lord, concerning whether it's healing, whether it's, whatever it is that we might have, a person may have in their body today, Lord God, that they can trust you right now. They can believe. Hallelujah. Because the word says that, by your, that the stripes of Jesus, they were healed. I want to thank you that you healed them, Lord God. You did. You've already healed them, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. I thank you. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is working right now in their bodies, in this place, quickening their mortal bodies. Whatever it is, whatever's working in a hindrance in any manner in their body, Lord God, that right now, the quickening of the Holy Spirit is bringing life to them. Hallelujah. And Lord God, as they walk out that door, it don't stop. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Holy Lord, Father God, I thank you that faith in the working of the Word of God, that the Holy Spirit is activated in them. Hallelujah. Activated in them continually, daily, bringing life to them. Hallelujah. Lord God, that tonight when they go to bed, they wake up in the morning, that life's working, whether they feel it or not. The same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is quickening them. Hallelujah. Their minds with thoughts, ideas, Lord God, of what to do, answers to problems in their lives, whatever it might be, there's a quickening. Hallelujah. This, Lord God, that the Spirit, the seeing and knowing, is working in them in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, Jesus said that you'd show us things to come. There's ones here, Lord God, they need to see, be able to see ahead, to make decisions. They know that there's things coming, but they want to see. Lord God, we need to be able to make accurate decisions. Holy Spirit, I thank you you're going to do what Jesus has said you'd do. You would show His people things to come so they can make right decisions, right plans, hallelujah, for their life, that they're going to know what to do. Wisdom is going to rise up in them. A knowing rising up in them. Hallelujah. 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 Decisions. Yes, yeah. Yeah, you're interested, Lord. You're interested in all their decisions. You're interested. Hallelujah. You want them to have good decisions. You want them to have good outcomes. Good outcomes, Lord God. And I thank you that you're bringing them good outcomes. Hallelujah. Lord God, Lord, with all this stuff going on, we hear the complaining and we hear the things people about the economy going under. But you're well able to take care of your people. You're well able to keep. Lord God, we realize there's an economy in this nation and there are things that affect us. But Lord God, we have more faith in your affecting us than what the effects of this world. Hallelujah. That you're affecting us, hallelujah. Lord, you're giving us wisdom. You're prospering us in the middle of all this mess. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, you're working in them in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord.